You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
I just pulled up Twitter and I saw that the guy from Undeath posted an image of blocking at the punk rock NBA. Just with the caption, enough.
Agreed. And I've never seen a single thing he's done and I've had enough.
I mean, you did back in the day. Just it was a little bit more spicy, I guess. Anyway, this is for all the people talking about we only cover the old guys. Now we can cover the old guys. Hey, it's the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got the 365 Days of Horror. I'm talking, of course, about Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm sleepy. But I'm okay. I'm safe and warm and dry. And it appears that a huge death storm is coming to New Orleans right now.
I mean, we were supposed to have a death storm up by me, and it was, you know, a little rainy, but that's about it. So maybe things will not be so bad.
Like, did you have a hurricane designation for the storm coming your way? Or was it a tropical storm?
It, like, as it was hitting, it got downgraded to tropical storm, but there was still, you know, 50 mile an hour, 60 mile an hour winds, and I guess once that's happening, you're not really like, is this a tropical storm or a hurricane? Oh, it's a tropical storm. I'm fine.
Yeah. I think that right now the storm approaching the Gulf is Category 5, which is ideally not something you would want to see coming your way, you know?
Well, good thing there isn't, like, any other problems going on in that particular part of the country right now.
I know. We've got a bunch of listeners that live in the Gulf area, and would not be surprised if they skip this episode. If they ever do find a chance to catch up on episodes, we are rooting for you. Please let me know if you need anything. This looks real bad, man. I was in... college as a freshman, as a journalism major at the time when Katrina was happening, and like for like a year, it seems like all of my work around that was like looking into all of journalistic work surrounding the Times-Picayune and Hurricane Katrina and all the shit that went wrong, and I guess all of this shit is like burned into my mind. I genuinely hope that something has changed, that things will be better this time, but I don't have a ton of hope.
What, like cops shooting people on crossing a bridge, things like that?
Yeah, or, you know, the Chris Kyles of the world, now that there are so many that, you know, celebrate his birthday every year, like they want to go ahead and travel down to the Gulf and climb up on the fucking Superdome. I'm hoping that this is going to be less severe than it appears. We'll see. Anyway, for the folks in the Gulf, I am thinking about you again. Let me know what we can do to help.
We will be the soothing balm for anything that happens. Like, I'm sure people want to know why you're tired today.
Why I'm tired?
Yeah, there's a reason.
Is it important that I stayed up until 2:30 in the morning watching 1981 Burt Reynolds starring and directed vehicle Sharky's Machine?
No, I have a few questions.
Yes.
What is this movie, first of all?
This is a movie about a hotshot cop who gets demoted to the Vice Squad and uncovers... a trafficking operation among some high-dollar call girls in town, and sets up a huge surveillance operation on them. All of which I've just described sounds very bad, right?
It doesn't sound thrilling. I guess, why did you want to see this movie?
Did you ever watch The Venture Brothers?
Like one or two episodes.
Okay, I recently rewatched like the full thing, and it's strong. I highly recommend it. But they have an episode that, I guess, one of the plot points is the song, the theme song from Sharky's Machine keeps getting repeated throughout like this creepy building, It's a good song. It's a very good song. I don't know why they keep mentioning fucking this movie. Of all movies you could mention, Sharky's Machine is not one that has any kind of cultural relevance.
Maybe because it was free. Maybe it lapsed into public domain or something.
That could have been the case. But regardless, this movie is so good. And the ending is the most insane thing I've ever seen in a movie. I'm not going to spoil shit. The ending takes about 1.5 minutes, and the tonal shifts will leave you with a broken neck. I cannot recommend Sharky's Machine enough.
That Venture Brothers thing referencing this song from this obscure movie feels like it was a precursor to Rick and Morty and sweet and sour McDonald's sauce, like just referencing something super obscure that people don't really remember and then just kind of cramming it into your face, making you want to have the thing that you can't have.
I think that there's something to that, though. I do take some umbrage with being compared to one of those fucking dorks.
Well, you stayed in your house and watched a movie versus going out to McDonald's and stepping on the counter and wanting your sweet, sugary, Hawaiian-flavored sauce for your nuggies.
Do you think any of those people, like that guy that like jumped up on the counter and was throwing a fit, do you think he feels any shame about his actions?
Well, there's a good chance he might be dead from COVID now, so, you know, 50-50.
My immediate assumption is that guy's probably like a, you know, either a crypto millionaire or like completely dead broke now from trying to buy fake coins.
Something involving tech. I agree. My third question for this is this movie so obscure and hard to find that you couldn't just watch it at your leisure? You had to watch it until 2 a.m.
You know, the wife and I, we got a bottle of champagne. We cracked into it kind of late. We were scrolling through, I think it was on Stars. Because, you know, like, I don't pay for cable, but I absolutely will pay $10 a month to watch fucking Stars.
Stars.
It's the best movie channel because it just has just shit that, like, I think I've kind of heard of that one.
I'll spend 2 hours of my life watching this crap.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes it works. Sometimes you get a Sharky's Machine. And sometimes you watch fucking Willy's Wonderland, which is fucking god-awful, man.
I watched that like a week or two ago.
What did you think?
There wasn't really anything to it. It's Five Nights at Freddy's, the video game. It's the same concept. Pretty much down to the letter, except the guy who created that is some sort of like anti-abortion Christian weirdo.
What?
but the
horror game for kids guy is apparently like some. All right, whatever. That's fine.
And I only know about that because video games journalist James Stephanie Sterling had pointed it out not that long ago. But yeah. I don't know. Like, Nicolas Cage did not need to be in this movie at all.
No.
And I like Nicolas Cage, but he didn't do anything. He was just there, and his purpose was not really explained, how he was such an ass-kicker against possessed animatronic monsters, and it was just kind of there. It was an excuse to make an hour-and-a-half movie based on a neat little video game idea that was popular 10 years ago.
Yeah, I hated this movie so much, man. I like Nicolas Cage. I like it when he does, you know, intentionally, you know, silly things. I'm a big fan of Drive Angry. and this represents the other end of that, like where it's a bad movie where I didn't have any fun in it. I felt no spark of joy.
I think it's fine. I've seen worse.
That's fair. I guess, you know, we gotta recenter things a little bit. This is not the what we were able to find on a streaming network podcast. This is the fucking heavy metal podcast, brother.
Horns up, 666. Lamb of God's gonna be the new Pantera, bro.
All right, let's go ahead and address this one because I have concerns.
This was annoying, and it made Pantera trend because of it.
No fucking way, really?
Yep.
Oh, I guess I got in there on the early stages of that one.
Yeah. Jamie Josta, who we have talked about many times on the show, had tweeted out, basically, Lamb of God is the new Pantera. Lamb of God, who has been around in one form or another since 1994. Hatebreed, who has been around in one form or another since 1994.
Pantera, whose heyday was 1990 to 1996.
Just, we talk about being stuck. I mean, the bands are almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
Lamb of God is just not becoming the new Pantera. They're not going to reach those heights. It's not their fault. It just is what it is. They are always, they're at the level now where they're going to be opening for a Megadeth, or they're opening for a Slayer, or if they do a headlining tour, it's in a smaller club. That's just what it is. They're not playing arenas. They're not going over to Russia for historical touring where they have to get barbecue sauce shipped to them.
It really is just like, we're stuck in this rut forever, aren't we? Like, where we have to say this band that's been around since 1994, I don't know what year it is now, but that's a long way away, has somehow, you know, become these young upstarts, the new Pantera. Like, it's sad. Like, it's real Uncle Rico shit. Like, you know, if I wanted to, I could throw this fucking football right over those mountains.
The thing is, it's not like Lamb of God have a big resurgence right now. They have a new single that's getting a lot of airplay. They were used in some Marvel movie trailer. None of that. Lamb of God hasn't been like the hot new metal band since the late 2000s at the most.
The late 2000s is absolutely pushing it.
Like, they had they were on the Headbangers Ball tour with like Killswitch Engage and Shadows Fall at the time where that stuff was really starting to be popular. That was in 2003. They were on Guitar Heroes game, and they ended up getting signed to a more legitimate, bigger actual music label, and that's it.
They've been kicking around ever since. At one point, they really broke into the mainstream consciousness when their singer killed a guy. And then that's just a footnote. We're well past that now.
That was years ago. That was, 5 years ago?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that notoriety, like that mainstream consciousness, resulted in them becoming more of the new Pantera.
For the best, really. I think good for Lamb of God not trying to capitalize on that. Like, we're free now tour 2016, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Randy Blythe did write a book about it, but I don't know the legality of, like, he was exonerated, so I guess it's fine. Like, if you were guilty, I don't think you're allowed to write that book. You're not allowed to write If I Did It.
And he went back to face the music, so.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
All credit to him.
It's a pretty pathetic state of affairs. You know, those two guys are on tour together right now. Again, as you mentioned, opening up for Megadeth. And we just can't summon any enthusiasm for anybody that's, you know, had a band that has existed for less than 30 years. It sucks. It sucks a lot, man.
Just flipping through the responses to it was just making me say, Jesus Christ, every couple of seconds, because a lot of it was, you know, hell yeah, brother. And some of it was, no, you know, they're pretty good, but not as good as Pantera. And it's just like, man, go to Bandcamp and click metal and just learn some new bands. I mean, I know we talk about some of the old stuff too, but that's just because it's usually noteworthy. And, you know, whoever the hot new band on Bandcamp now tends to not say stupid things. They just play their music and go on tour.
I guess this is just, you know, my personal biases or whatever, but God, Lamb of God is, you can do so much better. You can find a better band, I promise you.
I think people don't want to do better. I think they're happy with a straightforward, radio-friendly-ish heavy metal. Like, they just wanted something heavy to listen to while they're working at AutoZone or when they're on the treadmill. They don't want tech death.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I feel like there are things out there that are not necessarily this very particular well-worn ground. You don't have to uncover a an unknown subgenre to get a nice new feeling or whatever. Just, you know, try a little bit harder.
The older we get, the more we like to stick with what we know. And as we slowly start to approach the end of the year, I've been dreading for the past 6-7 months having to do an end of the year list because I got nothing.
As always, I listen to more new music than the average, however old guy that I am, I guess. But I just don't get excited about creating a list like a lot of our cohorts do. That's never been very interesting to me, you know?
I mean, I'm not excited to do the list. I'm more of excited to have these bands share the list and our website get some attention. That's much more of a reason for me to do it than just saying, yeah, I like this, because lots of people do that on Twitter, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, people love to talk about their year-end lists all year long, and it's fucking weird to me, man. It's really weird.
Every song is an album of the year contender for some people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it, in terms of the way that people like to consume music third hand, though, it does make sense, because if I were to just like post up on Twitter like, hey, this is a cool new band and I like how this sounds, like one or two people are going to be like, cool, I'll check it out later, thanks, man. And that's about it. But it's the same thing with the site. If we publish a list of 10 bands that had records that come out that year, suddenly it has more heft to it. People want to share it and people want to argue with you. I guess that's why we keep doing this, even though it's stupid and I hate it.
Yeah, it's usually our most read articles of the year is when we do it, so might as well keep doing it.
I guess so.
People like lists and people like to argue.
I can't argue with that. I just wish it was a little bit more fun for me. You know, I want to have people arguing about things that aren't necessarily like, I like how that sounds versus I don't like that sounds. I want to get people, you know, fighting to the core of their beliefs.
I just want people agreeing with me and giving me a pat on the back.
Oh, that too. You know, like if you, for example, if you prefer, you know, a mayonnaise based potato salad, I hope you fucking rot and die.
How are your feelings on Alabama barbecue sauce?
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know what an Alabama barbecue sauce differentiates from other states.
It's like mayonnaise based.
What?
And I only found this out a couple years ago after getting barbecue in my home state of Rhode Island, what Alabama sauce is.
What the fuck, dude? I mean, I guess I haven't eaten meat in a few years, so I'm a little out of the game or whatever. But shit, that sounds nasty, man.
Yeah, Alabama white barbecue sauce.
Ugh.
People like ask, what like is Alabama style barbecue sauce?
Sounds like a gross euphemism.
Hey, all ladies, right. You want some Alabama white barbecue sauce?
Ugh. That's like a fucking Steel Panther song.
It might be a Glory Hammer song, actually.
Oh, boy.
Segway.
Killing it. Fucking. I need to get cool laser segways.
Well, I think we need to have, I don't remember, whatever the old player versus player internet game was where you could headshot someone and it goes, headshot. You kill a lot of people and it's monster kill. I think we need that, but with Segway.
Was that like Quake?
One of those.
Yeah. If you're more familiar with first person shooters, let us know in the comments who handled the monster kill vocal dudes.
If you're a dork of a certain age, as we like to say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all that shit just got re-released for the Switch, so you know, young kids can become a dork of a certain age now.
Great. So, have you heard this news about Glory Hammer? It was one of these news items that, like, showed up for half a day and then was just gone. No one else was talking about it.
So, like, I looked at Twitter, like, when I first woke up, I don't know, Monday, and I saw somebody sharing things, this thing that was like, here's leaked screenshots from the band's Glory Hammer's group chat or whatever. And the first one that I clicked on was just like, I got vicious secondhand embarrassment from these dudes talking to each other. Like, I don't want to downplay what they said, but it's the most cheese dick shit that I've ever seen in my life.
It's very like dork high school. Yeah. With, you know, lots of sexism and racism.
Yeah, it's like it really did take me back to being like in eighth grade gym class in the locker room, the kind of shit that these guys are talking about. Like, to the point where I doubt that any member of this band has ever had sex. Like, I did doubt that before due to their whole fucking shtick, but.
If people really want to see it, it's on Twitter at GloryHammerC. The letter C has some of the screenshots. But to back up and kind of go through the story, abruptly, the band GloryHammer, dorky on purpose, power metal band that has the vocalist from Ailstorm as the keyboardist. They've been around.
That's too much.
Too much.
You can't have the fucking pirate band and the D&D band. That's too much.
And the thing is, Ailstorm's not even a pirate band anymore. They're like just dorks. That's their thing. They have like a giant blow up rubber ducky on stage and wear kilts and a hat that says "Oh wow" on it and stuff. They've given up the pirate thing. They've moved on.
I'm turning into one of those guys that calls everything soy now.
So this band GloryHammer has been a side band for him, and I mean, I guess we're just not in the power metal portion of Twitter, so perhaps they've been talking about it.
I mean, like, I will say that I know people that like power metal that have been big fans of this band for a while. I don't like power metal, and multiple people have told me to check this band out, and I told them I would not.
You're not missing anything. A few years ago, I saw Ailstorm and GloryHammer open for them, and, you know, it was fine, fun, goofiness, but none of that anymore, because they abruptly kicked out their vocalist just a couple days ago with a very brief statement. "We regret to announce that Thomas Winkler is no longer a member of GloryHammer. All upcoming shows, including the UK tour with Ailstorm, will continue as planned with a new vocalist." People who know a little bit of GloryHammer, Thomas Winkler goes by the name Angus McFife, which just sounds like the worst Irish steakhouse in middle America that you can think of.
If you can choose a fake name, and I'm saying this is somebody who has chosen a fake name and I'm sticking with it, like, why would you go with Scottish Mick fucking Steakhouse?
I don't know. It does remind me of when I was in middle America many years ago, stopping at a Tex-Mex restaurant called Carlos O'Brien's.
Oh, no.
And it was like this, like, I was trying to figure out, are they going to have cabbage and meat in a taco? But no, it was just a Tex-Mex place, and just makes me think of Pancho O'Houlihan's or just these other things that couldn't possibly be real, but there it is. It's right in front of me, and I'm eating there.
Rosa McGillicuddy's.
And eventually, Thomas Winkler responded, "Dear friends and fans of GloryHammer, this morning I received an email from the band informing me that they want to part ways with me. As a reason, they mentioned disagreements on business and organizational matters." Yeah, he wasn't filing his TPS reports in a timely manner, so they had to let him go.
He missed the Q1 deadline, which is unacceptable.
"I am at a loss for words. The only thing I can say is that I regard this as a bad decision for every party involved.
Wow.
The band, as well as myself, and especially you, the fans. It's hard to believe that our concert at Bloodstock Festival last Sunday suddenly turns out to be our last show together. After getting used to this new situation, I promise you that I will use the split as a chance to embark on a quest to new musical shores in the future, still to be settled in the rock and metal realm. In the meantime, I will keep you updated and hope you stay in touch. Blah, 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 blah."
I wonder if, like, Gary Gygax feels deep shame about what he has done.
What has he done?
He's the guy that, like, created a bunch of D&D modules and shit. Like, this band is explicitly ripping off a lot of his work.
And GloryHammer responded back, just giving slightly more information, but not really. And other people eventually chimed in with screenshots, one talking about how a member of GloryHammer is an abuser. that people can find. And then the other thing was, as you mentioned, the group chats with just, you know, a whole bunch of racism and sexism. So there you go.
Just painfully embarrassing stuff. I don't know. If I were these guys, I'd probably dissolve the band and then self-immolate if I were them.
I assume they're not much of a moneymaker, but I think they are on Napalm Records, so who knows?
I don't know. It's one of those things where I power metal almost certainly makes more money than any of the genres that we listen to.
People love it, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that's pretty deeply shameful for everyone involved.
And we promise not to talk about power metal for at least 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, we have checked that box for the next couple of cycles. Man, it is wild. I guess I haven't read a Metal Sucks comment in a while.
The comments dropped off. I mean, I'm surprised people still comment on it.
It's all the shit that you figured it would be. I'm just like seeing things that are, you know, written in caps here. SJWs, re-based, just guttural dumb shit.
It's like I was reading an article on Blabbermouth yesterday, actually. It's about Adam D. from Killswitch Engage. He was on a podcast that his vocalist, Jesse Leach, hosts, and was talking about falling into depression during the beginning of COVID and stuff like that. And you'd better believe the comments were all fucking pussy. What a pussy.
I love, especially with Blabbermouth, since it's connected to Facebook, it's all these people with like their fucking wife and kids in the picture.
With their job in their bio.
Yeah, just... I have never had as much confidence in my life as the average Blabbermouth commenter does.
We miss you, RiotX666.
Well, that's pretty good. Good start to the metal news here. I figure we can talk about maybe the mainstream effect of metal. Do you know who Kanye West is?
I've heard the name here and there. He's a young up-and-comer, just like Lamb of God, right?
Exactly. He's like 44 years old and the next big thing.
I believe he came out into the mainstream when I was in college, which was a few years ago.
I was in high school, I think, when his first single came out, the one where like his jaw was actually wired shut and he was rapping through it. And there were arguments with people in class over whether his name was Kanye or Kane.
Kanye West.
Pretty much.
And now he's just going by Ye, so.
Yeah. Great. So, you know, we were all wrong back then, essentially. He's been hanging out in the rafters like Sting for a while now.
It's Sting!
What stadium is he at? He set up residence at some fucking stadium.
It's in Atlanta, I think.
Oh, and, you know, he's just been posting cryptic pictures and videos every couple of weeks doing a listening show, you know, where people can get a listen with certain parts of his new album, Donda, which I believe came out late last night, I think. But I think there's going to be a patch on it, too. Like, he's going to release an update to this in the 1.2 version, so maybe hold off on downloading it just yet, I guess. I don't know, I'm deeply confused by a lot of this guy's shit. Also, like, did you ever see people posting pictures of, like, the concession prices during one of these listening parties?
Wasn't it, like, $45 for a hot dog?
Yeah, it was, like, $45 for a hot dog, $75 for a plate of chicken fingers. Like, just the most insane shit I've ever seen, man.
It's pretty insane to me to go to a stadium, again, during a pandemic, to listen to... It's a big listening party, but it's not a party because you're just sitting in a stadium seat eating your expensive chicken fingies while he like stands there not moving or occasionally running around and collapsing or his ex-wife shows up wearing a wedding dress.
Yeah. If you're like really into celebrities, this is for you, I think.
If you really thumb through Us Weekly while waiting to check out at the supermarket, this is for you.
Exactly. That is who the target demographic for these listening parties is. Anyway, I guess he made a little bit of noise last week at the, I believe, the final listening party. I don't fucking know. I don't really care, man. That he had a, you know, a tiny little house in the stadium where he, DaBaby and Marilyn Manson were hanging out menacingly.
Let's just get the two worst people in music right now together, and they can hang out and play house with me.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's difficult to get a release visa for the guy from Lost Prophets to come hang out too. I guess this is just creating controversy for the sake of making more noise. I don't know. What do you make of it?
I think Marilyn Manson's on his album.
Really?
At least that's the last what I heard. I mean, I don't care about Kanye West. I never have. I never will. Rap's not my thing. Hip-hop's not my thing. So I want no part of this. I hate the Kardashians. They are all monsters. Every single person involved in this is bad. And now it got worse.
Yeah, they took a bad thing and they made it worse.
God, can we talk about power metal again?
God,
what's Blind Guardian up to? They're not doing anything bad.
I liked some of Kanye's records, and then I guess, I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of the spectacle of all this stuff. Like, I don't really, I just stop caring. It's exhausting trying to follow this shit. I'm not going to listen to this record unless, you know, somebody tells me I have to or whatever. It's just, it's too much. Just, you know, fucking put it out on Bandcamp quietly.
It's when Charlie Sheen publicly lost his mind, but with a soundtrack. It's the same thing. It's just that happened a lot faster. He obviously has lots of mental problems, and apparently he does the music real good, and that's enough for some people. And we just have to sit through all these stories cropping up about him and his cohorts, and now Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at the, I guess, the credits list on Yeezus, there's like 100 producers on that shit. Like, this is a lot of people working on a record, and it seems like they don't finish it until about 3 minutes before it's released. I don't understand this approach to making music, and I feel increasingly alienated by all of this shit. And then you add on, like, serial abuser Marilyn Manson, and I'm just like, this fucking sucks, dude.
And then it just, you're going to end up with another one of those memes where 100 producers for Kanye West versus All That Remains, one producer.
Yeah, like, I mean, great. Like, I've heard that All That Remains album and it fucking sucks, dude.
That's some real Iowa State Fair shit.
Yeah, maybe you should have gotten a couple extra in there, because clearly the first guy didn't have, like, earplugs in. Sucks, man. I don't like any of this. I don't think it's a good idea to try to rehabilitate the image of Marilyn Manson to add additional heat for your album release. I think that sucks.
Yeah, no, it's bad PR move, but I guess you're getting people talking about your album, and that's all you care about.
I guess so. I hope Marilyn Manson gets hit by a bus. Let's go ahead. Let's.
I hope the bus is okay.
Stopping, like, oh my god, are you all right? And taking out a chamois cloth.
Shh, it's gonna be okay. We're gonna get you all fixed up.
You saw that the pandemic is continuing at a pace that is unrelenting. Who got it this week?
It's actually worse than it has been, and I don't think anyone cares anymore, apparently, because we're still having all sorts of festivals and events. I did see cropping up on social media some people saying, I was at Cycle Las Vegas and just tested positive for COVID. Everyone get tested too.
All right. Well, who could have seen that coming?
But a good friend of the show, Bob Ritchie, is in the news. Kid Dad Rock took to Facebook, as you know, where all of the Kid Dad Rock fans are now, saying, Billy Bob's shows this weekend, I am pissed. Over half the band has fucking COVID, in parentheses, not me.
God damn it.
And before you shit, wait, no, sorry. It's not the word you, it's just you, the letter U. And before you shit for brains bloggers and media trolls run your mouths, hey, he knows us.
Hey.
Many of them, like me, have been vaccinated. Uh-huh. I was gonna come and rock the house anyway, play acoustic, DJ, or even just juggle, D's nuts.
Fuck you.
Or at least try to entertain you good folks. But seriously, shit is way out of my hands on this one. I am beyond upset, and you real ones know I would never cancel if I absolutely didn't have to. For this, I am sorry, Kid Rock. And unfortunately for you, he had to cancel some Texas dates.
Yeah, I know. That sucks, man. I would have loved to see him go wiki-wiki on the fucking turntable.
Oh, wait. There's more to his statement. Would you like to hear his P.S.?
All right, let's hear it.
P.S. God bless our military.
You useless especially fucking those... hump.
Jesus. God bless our military, especially those who lost their lives today in Afghanistan. I am way more upset about that than some stupid virus and missing a couple shows. My heart bleeds for them and their loved ones. I hope we
bleeding
bomb
heart,
the shit.
Pussy. How about you cry a fucking river about it? It's fucking libtarded shit right here.
Fucking pussy. I hope we bomb the shit out of those fucks and send a clear message, But I am worried Biden is too much of a woke pussy. Say a prayer for the fallen, count your blessings, and God bless America.
So useless, man. Just this is now this is virtue signaling.
It's just to tack that on to half my band is sick with a deadly virus.
I was gonna juggle these nuts for you. Also, dearest Jesus in heaven, watch over and protect our brave military men with the sword of the Savior. It's like, fuck you.
Here's a reference to my testicles. God bless America and our troops.
Just huge weeping pussy all of a sudden. Yeah, man.
Dabbing his eyes with an American flag.
No, it is a shame. It is always sad to hear when somebody like that has actually got vaccinated. I was really hoping for the best here, but looks like we're going to have to do things the hard way. No, I saw that fucking Dee Snider, you know, the guy that's just appears in the fucking metal blogs but doesn't actually do anything of note. Like, he actually got a pretty good one. He's like, hey, if you're unvaccinated, if you won't wear a mask, like, you know, go ahead and go see a Ted Nugent or a Kid Rock show instead.
Nice.
I thought that was good. Very, very subtly wishing death on these people. Which,
and a bunch of people got mad at him, right?
Yeah, yeah, because of PC culture.
Because it was such an accurate and savage burn, and they just couldn't handle it.
I was going down this huge thread in Reddit on R nursing, watching all these people talk about how. You know, if you're unvaccinated with the Delta variant, you're just going to fucking die. And it seems like the numbers are backing that up. And then you have folks just pot committed to hydrochloroquine or ivermectin as a possible, you know, cure for this, and then just making it even worse. I can't stress this enough, man. I have a bottle of ivermectin underneath the sink. You take literally one drop of it in a dropper and you put it on the back of the chickens, and you can't eat their eggs for like 3 weeks because it's such a powerful dewormer. You give it to them, the next morning you can watch them just shit out like a mass of eggs. It's fucking massive eggs and worms. It's really disgusting. I don't think that cures COVID.
The vaccine is free. You can get it anywhere in this country, really. You can just go to your local Walmart or your CVS, anywhere. It's there. It'll take you 10 to 15 minutes. And yet they're buying horse dewormer on the black market and making themselves disgustingly, brutally ill. It's just... So what I'm saying is you should sell these pills to these people.
Well, I mean, I got beat to the punch. Fucking, I don't know if you saw the investigation into who's been behind all of this shit, the ivermectin and before that, the hydrochloroquine.
Is it a Republican city council member somewhere?
They are, yeah. Well, the people on the board of America's Frontline Doctors, which is a shady mail order pharmacy, essentially. And these people are like installed in Republican politics all over the place. Essentially, this is a way to make a little bit of extra scratch selling fucking horse dewormer marked up to $90 per.
And in some states, like Florida, these people are actual paid advisors to the governor.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody posted a picture of their headquarters, which is just straight in a fucking strip mall in like Irving, Texas.
Well, we'll just have to keep our eyes on the news and see if Wino starts getting a long face.
He's gonna start shitting out his intestinal lining any day now. It's unrelated to the ivermectin, though. That's just from years of hard living.
But he won't have to wear a mask while he does it, so that's what matters.
Freedom, baby.
We talk about it on the Patreon bonus show, patreon.com/toiletofhell. But in the past couple of episodes, we've talked about Eric Wagner, the vocalist formerly of Trouble and The Skull, who got COVID, specifically COVID pneumonia, and had to be hospitalized as he was touring with Wino in The Obsessed. And three out of like four members from the band also caught it. And the news passed this week that he passed away and was not vaccinated and was like refusing to get vaccinated. It wasn't like because of health reasons or he didn't have time. He chose not to. And as one of his, I believe, former bandmates said, he stood his ground on this and now he is lying underground because of it.
I guess I have like when somebody like Eric Wagner dies, like somebody that has brought a lot to the genre, like I feel sadness about that. And overwhelmingly, though, I feel contempt for the people that have made it their mission to poison the well and turn what was a simple scientific matter into an ideological battle. So when you have people that are, you know, refusing to get the free vaccine that's available anywhere, like the one that the rest of the world is fucking dying for, and we have so much stockpiled and just going to waste every single day, it just fills me with contempt. Because people are, they're no longer capable of thinking about this in any way clearly, and the decisions that they make are no longer rational, because this is not a rational decision thing anymore, this is an ideological thing. So the people of the world, the America's frontline doctors, the Alex Berensons, the fucking Louis Gohmerts of the world, like, if there was any kind of semblance of justice in this country, they would have to stand trial for the secondhand murder of God knows how many people. But it's not going to happen. These people continue to enrich themselves literally on the deaths of others. This country fucking sucks, man.
The best you can hope for is that they get their accounts suspended from whatever social media platform they're using, and then they just end up going somewhere else, or, you know, getting more people sick through Gabber, Patriot Takes, or Parler.
Substack is the big one right now. Like, the biggest morons in the world are on Substack.
Oh, Glenn Greenwald, what are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly. The fucking Matt Taibbi, dude. Like, that's a dude that I used to read a lot in, like, Rolling Stone 15 years ago.
Yeah, I remember reading – he had a great article about John McCain right before the election in 2008 that I would, like, reread over and over. And I think it's one of those things, same with Greenwald, where it's like, oh, they're liberals, they're leftists, they're speaking out against these ills from, like, the Bush administration, and then they turned into, like, own the lib weirdos.
Yeah, man. And I think, like, Greenwald has kind of always been a piece of shit. Like, he took a lot of cases defending Nazis 20 years ago or whatever. You know, that's a free speech issue in his mind or whatever. For me, it says a lot about a person. that's an argument for a different time, though. But, you know, Greenwald is a lawyer primarily. He likes to argue. He likes to make people mad and invent insane viewpoints that he can try to find a way to defend himself from. That's like fun for him. And in the process, he found a way to make millions of dollars owning the libs that way. Taibbi, I legitimately think he's gone dumb. Because he was defending the use of ivermectin to try to treat COVID as of like last week. This is his latest hobby horse. I don't fucking get it, man. I don't understand at all, and it is a huge, huge disappointment.
I don't know. I think people sometimes just dig their heels in so hard that they can never get out of it, so they just dig in more. You know, like Kid Rock.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think it's such a weird thing seeing somebody that's essentially entrenched themselves in the Bush years and they're unable to, like, come forward from it. Like
the new Matt Taibbi article. I think this George W. Bush is going to be the next Pantera.
You know, in a lot of ways, you reach a certain age and you can't age any further. You're mentally stuck in that era. And I think that, you know, for someone like Taibbi, I guess that's 2007, and for somebody like Jamie Josta, it's maybe 2005.
And sometimes you make a YouTube channel that upsets the guy from Undead.
I mean, he's right, though. So anyway, that's kind of where my brain has been at the last couple of days. I don't know about you.
I mean, I watched House of the Dead yesterday for the first time, so my brain is out to lunch.
Not a lot mentally stimulating going on with the House of the Dead, I gotta say. Was that an Uwe Boll film?
It was. It was like the Uwe Boll film.
When I worked at GameStop in high school, GameStop used to sell DVDs, and as a result, I used to steal a shit ton of DVDs. that was one that I stole from a shift, and you know, I brought it with me to college, and when you know, folks were drunk on my couch, I would go ahead and put that on for them. It's not a good movie, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's famously not a good movie. It's one of those things where if it was a B movie, like played up as a B movie or even C movie, I think people have been a little bit more forgiving. But this had the backing of Sega and was in theaters. It wasn't like a direct-to-DVD thing or direct-to-sci-fi. This was posed as a real movie, and I don't think you can really do that with Clint Howard in it.
I mean, there are a lot of good Clint Howard movies. Like,
Ice Cream Man?
Yeah. No, I was thinking he was in, like, he was in Apollo 13, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, as a little background, whatever, that's fine, but you know what I mean.
He was in Rock and Roll High School. I think he was, like, 19 years old in that movie. He looks exactly like he does now.
Well, it's like the Bob Odenkirk. If you look old when you're young, when you actually get old, you haven't changed at all.
That's the way to do it. That's the right way of going about it.
Get old now.
No, I think that Sega fucked it up, though. They did the wrong adaptation. Instead of doing House of the Dead, they should have done Typing of the Dead as a movie. Like, your characters are frantically clicking away on a mechanical keyboard trying to spell out, like, rutabaga to kill the zombie coming right at them.
Well, that would appeal to today's texting youth, I suppose.
I think it would, yeah.
Except they don't know how to spell, and they're illiterate, so, hmm.
Damn, coming up hard at the kids nowadays.
This is a podcast. Kids aren't listening to this. This was on TikTok, yeah, then I'd have some trouble, but we're fine.
I like the idea of us uploading a 95-part TikTok just for every episode.
explaining everything to a silly dance.
Yeah, exactly. Just with us pointing to text flashing behind us, making a dumb face.
An emotionless Brando pointing up to something that says, Dave Mustaine.
Tell him to make that video. That would be fucking hilarious.
That's what makes us money. That makes us go viral.
Yep. All right. I do have a weird thing here that we could talk about, but this is like a whole fucking can of worms. We're pretty late on this show. I don't know if we want to touch on it now or do a deeper dive later.
Well, we've already talked about the dewormer, so let the worms come out now.
All right. Do you know what Adam Waffen is?
Yes, I believe we've talked about it before on this show, because wasn't one of the members like in into black metal?
Yeah, because Adam Waffen is like associated with the Order of Nine Angles, which I don't know if we talked about that as well.
Yes, we have, because you wrote an article about it.
Yeah, I did.
About what band had Suicide Silence had a T-shirt or something like that?
Yeah, whatever graphic designer was putting together this shit for sale on HotTopic.com. Copied and pasted an Order of Nine Angles pentagram or nontagram or whatever to stick on the shirt, which is, oh boy, there is a lot associated with that logo, and Suicide Silence probably does not want that associated with them. They've already got the pedo bear mascot. So essentially, a lot of esoteric black metal, you're able to gain some notoriety in the scene by claiming association with the Order of Nine Angles, which does have a long documented history going back to the 90s in the US as well as in Europe, associated with various, you know, pretty prominent Nazis, Nazi slash Satanists, because you got to have that combination. You got to be extra evil.
Just guys with the shittiest pointy beard.
Yeah. The greasiest fucking ponytail you've ever seen in your life.
Just swimming in grease. When they turn their head, it sloshes.
Really, really visceral stuff, man. There were some of these Adam Waffen guys, again associated with the Order of Nine Angles, that had set up a compound here in Texas, and the FBI went and grabbed a couple of them just the other day. John Cameron Denton, I believe that's the guy that his handle was Rape. That's the guy that called himself Rape, because he's a cool dude. Went and got by a SWAT team just the other day. And there are some court documents around this that make it fairly clear that a lot of people involved in the leadership of Adam Waffen and in association, the Order of Nine Angles, are just paid FBI informants. The FBI had sunk somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 into the publishing of books, pamphlets, websites, T-shirts, various literature, various media campaigns to help the Order of Nine Angles, Adam Waffen, and associated Nazi groups go ahead and get their message out there and attract the membership of like-minded news enthusiasts of Satan, Hitler, rape, murder, etc. associated things. And that's kind of a hobby horse that I've had for a good long while. That it seems like our government agencies are pretty invested in investing in these things to help them grow their base, and less interested in shutting them down before they can do something that is pretty stupid, either that they cooked themselves up or that they were goaded into by these intelligence organizations.
If you're a government that's strapped for cash, this is a good way to have passive income.
That's a good way of thinking about this. You know, all of the advice that I've been getting from TikTok about my finances are try to find a way to make passive income. I guess this is the way to do it, right?
yeah, you know, you just you put a little money in and then you get a little bit back, and you know, it just works for you. Well, you stay home in your house and, you know, the country rots from the inside.
So we have you know, a couple of murders tied to Adam Waffen. It seems to me that maybe those murders didn't necessarily have to happen if there was an informant embedded from the very beginning. Maybe I'm naive about how all of this works or what the goal is exactly. What's your take on this?
I mean, this isn't a surprise. Hasn't the FBI and CIA been doing this for literally decades, since even before their inception, working with organized crime and other organizations here and abroad to whatever solve or adjust whatever issues that they want, whether it's funding right-wing despots so that they can get rid of the spooky communists, or, you know, letting local mafias commit their crimes in order to get supposedly bigger fish. This is just more of the same, isn't it?
It is. I guess a lot of this stuff just seems like you're creating problems to create problems, though.
So what's a few murders between us buddies when we can stop an actual big terrorist attack and pat each other on the backs for a job well done?
Yeah, I believe that I was looking at a study fairly recently that said that almost every foiled terrorist attack associated with, like, radical Islam or whatever over the last 20 years has been pretty much totally fabricated. Where you have FBI agents or CIA agents or whatever the fuck, some agency just basically trying to goad mentally ill teens into agreeing to something online, then kicking in the door and throwing them in a black site for the rest of their lives.
At the same time, they're agreeing to do this stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, there is this one case of this poor guy that was fucking... He's a pizza delivery guy that was lonely, multiple... agents were trying to catfish him with a woman who was lonely and suicidal, and trying to get him to agree to engage in some kind of terrorist attack. And the thing is, like, he didn't really even agree to it, but they went ahead and got him, and he's in jail for like forever now, man.
That ass is just so good. I have to commit terrorism.
It's just like, why are you fucking with this poor lonely kid's life? He was presenting zero risk before somebody decided, I'm going to go ahead and try to get in his head over a many long month process.
It's the same thing as when you see your local constables posting on Facebook, like, finally getting drugs off the street, and it's like $10 worth of weed on a table next to a BB gun.
Oh man, I love the dime bag arrests. So, like, you got the full crew, like 9 officers around the table, like, look at our shit.
And fat-faced, blotchy guys with the same 9-to-5 haircut, looking all stern and getting this horrible devil's lettuce out of the community.
Yeah, it's maybe enough for half a joint of shag weed.
It's the same thing. It said that they can say, look at the good job we did.
I guess you're right. In this particular instance, it feels weird having an overlap, something that I've made fun of for years, and apparently the government's been at least partially behind all the entire time. I won't let the government trick me next time. From now on, anything that vaguely bothers me is absolutely a government op.
Sure.
TikTok, it's an op.
I don't know. I think when I see people say stuff like that on Twitter, like, this person's clearly an op, something like that. It's like, I don't know, maybe they're just actually weird. Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah, I guess that's possible too. It's possible that, you know, the website that offers absolutely no filter for who can sign up might have a couple of weirdos on it.
Maybe it's A, maybe it's B. Not everything is an op. Not everything is necessarily just a weirdo. Have some discretion.
But in the case of Adam Waffen and the Order of Nine Angles, it's an op.
And Proud Boys.
And Proud Boys. That's absolutely a fucking op. Jesus Christ.
yeah, it's, you know, let him run wild in the streets and then the cops can pound the back of the head of some like 16-year-old anti-fascist and good job, everyone. We did it.
Yep. Hard work out in the streets. You know, let's go ahead and
look. Disappointing in the sheets.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and look at a bag of fentanyl to celebrate.
And occasionally accidentally overdose on it.
Yeah, occasionally accidentally. Just let me see what this is all about.
Let me just rub this on my gums for a second.
Oh no, I'm dying. I think.
So yeah, if black metal bands are into Order of Nine angles, they suck.
Absolutely. And was it Nightbringer that was also associated with it? Like,
I think so.
Cheeseball fucking shit. Like, I hope you guys are shitting your pants that you're on the watch list now.
And it's just from a standpoint of having a metal website, it's hard to know all of these groups and members featuring members featuring members of that. Yeah, sometimes things slip through the cracks. You don't have to yell at us. We'll go, okay, we won't talk about them anymore. We'll remove it. It's just, there's only so many things you can know about these people. It's just, it's not all obvious all the time.
And you got to understand, we know too much. We yes. know more than anybody should have to know about any of this stuff.
It's like, at the end of the day, how many labels can you just completely avoid? And we avoid a lot of them, but, you know. What are you going to do? Just not report on any nuclear blast band?
Ideally.
I mean, we could. I know we could, but eventually some are going to slip through the cracks of like, yeah, we probably should cover this or whatever. Century Media, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, you're just covering a couple of smaller bands and smaller labels. And yeah, there are websites that do that, and that's cool. And I don't know. There's no easy answer when it comes to like some of this stuff. I mean, you just try to do the best you can. And if it doesn't work out and you find different information, then you go, okay, no more. We're fine.
The most important thing is that you get out there and you have fun.
Yeah, have fun and, you know, check metal archives.
That too. That's probably a good one. I think we gotta close it on this one. Is there anything you need to, any knowledge you need to kick on the audience before we close out?
Follow us on Twitter at Toll of Hell, at 365 Days of Horror, at Joe Thrashing Kill, at Breno Undergrounded, or Breno Grounded. Send us an email, tollofhell@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram. We're not on TikTok, so I don't know. If someone wants to make a Toll of Hell TikTok, go ahead.
Fucking knock yourself out, dude.
Yeah. I want the angry-faced metalhead pointing at a box that says Dave Mustaine.
Please. Somebody make that. We'll give you all the login credentials you need. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. We love you.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.